a neuroperformance coach? Yeah, I hadn't either. And then I met Jessica Rom Foster, who is our guest today on Tribe of Unicorns. I'm so excited for you to meet her. She is going to tell us how we can alleviate those annoying aches and pains and the things that stop us from operating our very highest level. For me, it was mental clarity, focus, and some odd aches and pains that I was having and vision issues. She has literally changed my life. I cannot wait for you to listen in. So grab a cup of coffee. Here we go. Hey guys, I am sitting with Jessica Rom Foster. She is a neuroperformance coach, and I am so excited to have you on the show today. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Kendra. I'm really excited to be here. My daughter's really excited too, because she loves unicorns and you're going to be on a unicorn podcast.
Everyone needs unicorn keychains.
It's true.
So why don't you, first of all, where are you located?
I am in the East Bay of San Francisco.
Okay. And why don't you tell us a little bit about what a neuroperformance coach is?
Yeah, good question. It's a name I basically created for myself. I got educated through a company called Z Health Performance. I'm a master trainer in Z Health Performance. So, you know, what?
Yeah, not descriptive enough.
I'm a master of something no one knows about. It's cool. And so, yeah, it's my way of kind of describing how I use this information. And so the gist of it is that I help people get out of pain and improve performance by teaching them how to play with their brains. And by that, I mean literally like the hardware of their nervous system.
I love it.
So yeah, it's beyond cool. I just kind of fell into this work in a way, and it boggles my mind even a decade later. Just, you know, it's so kind of
how did
infinitely
you
awesome. Yeah. So I'm a musical theater performer. I'm a singer and an actor. And I moved to New York to pursue the dream. Sure. And, you know, for me, I had severe performance anxiety in auditions in particular. Like, you get me in a costume and the lights are on and I tend to be just fine. I can come out and play and it's okay. Provided it's, you know, easy enough material for me that I don't have to get into my head about it.
Yeah.
But that performance anxiety was, I, on some level, moved to New York to kind of overcome that. I thought, well, I just need to audition more. Like, San Francisco doesn't have. Yeah, exactly. Just get better at the skill of auditioning. And instead I started getting worse. Oh, wow. And I was like, this is not good. I need to be able to do my best work in order to book the big gigs. Right. So this is not working. But lo and behold, as fate would have it, my voice teacher, Andrew Byrne, had another student who was teaching this Z Health for Singers workshop. And I was already certified in Pilates at that time. And so I was already in the body and kind of thinking about that element of things and had been on quite a healing journey for myself already at that point, and was like, what is this? You know, I'd been using Pilates to sort of help singers and performers in the Bay Area. So this was definitely in my lane, but I'd never heard of it. And I was like, all right, let me go check this out. And I went to this thing, and I'm pausing because I'm just remembering, like, I lived in Brooklyn at the time. The workshop was in, it was in Harlem. It was a long journey to get there, and I didn't feel great, which I often didn't feel great. And I just remember being like, am I really going to spend the energy to get to this workshop and do this thing? Like, is this worth it? And I don't know what got me onto that subway, but I did. And it changed my life. Like, in 45 minutes, things started shifting. And I was like, I don't know what this is, but I need to find out more. I mean, we did some singing and she had me do some weird eye drill. And all of a sudden I was singing better, you know, and there's people in the room. So, like, I'm nervous, but like the high notes weren't an issue. Everything felt effortless. Wow. Did a couple other little neural drills. And the next day I went to this audition. It was for a national tour. So it was big stakes. And I walked in and belted my high notes, which were really high notes. And like, it was no big deal. And they were impressed. So they asked for like a legit piece, which for me was terrifying, not super trained in that way, but I did it and like opened it up and just went for it. And it sounded just like it does in the shower. Exactly. Like, what is this? And so I was like, I obviously need to learn more about this. And started training with her, and she knew I was a broke actor, you know, and she was like, you know what, I think you should just go get certified in this. And it's like, all right. But in a nutshell, I found out I had some pretty severe visual disturbances. And I'd been to an optometrist. If you had asked me, I could have told you there was something going on in my eyes. But when I stared at like the Snellen chart, which is where they, you know, test your acuity, I had better than perfect vision. They checked other things. They never found anything. And I went on with my life thinking, you know, I'm a hypochondriac. I mean, like there were all these health symptoms, right? Like that something's wrong and nobody can tell me what it is. Well, my eyes were not, they weren't communicating with each other. They worked okay individually, but together they just, it was like a fight constantly.
And could you see that from the outside?
You know, when I'm tired, you can still see it. It's it'll still, this one will just kind of go.
It's absolutely wild you're saying this, because I'm literally wearing glasses right now on faith that my optometrist just sort of gave them to me because they were like, we don't know what's wrong. We don't see anything wrong. You might have astigmatism, but it's intermittent, which is so weird. And some days I wake up and I cannot see it. It's not double vision, but that's the only way I can describe it. It's not blurry. It's just weird and different.
Yep.
And it's
hard. And exhausting.
Exhausting. Yeah. I mean, I've literally been to neurologists and optical neurologists and nobody.
And they can't tell it. Really? This is where I'm like, why? I'm a musical theater nerd. Like, it's just crazy to me that like, I have these simple little tools and I just sometimes want to go screaming down the road being like, you're fancy doctors. Figure this out.
So how does this all work? Cause I've never heard of this before. And when
no one has,
and I was looking at your Instagram, you have like these little snackable.
I like that.
examples of what it is. Cause I didn't understand at all reading it. But then when I saw you actually doing it, I was like, wait, what?
So it is something you truly have to experience to like fully understand. And it's even then, like, it takes a while. Like there's sort of this paradigm shift that has to occur to go. I mean, it has changed the way I think about being human.
Wow.
You know? Yeah. I mean, really, like, I mean, all of the spiritual seeking and all of these things I had done, trying to figure out how to just walk through the world and feel normal in it. You know, there's such a physical element to it. Mm-hmm. And that for me, the eyes in particular play like 45% of our kind of controlled tower mechanisms for how we move through the world come from our eyes. Hmm. So if there's a problem, even if it's a slight problem, that means 45% of the information coming in is distorted.
Right.
And I have to navigate that while I'm trying to move through the world. Oh, so, and that's just your eyes, right?
Right.
So we do a lot of work. Input? Really good question. So I think about the brain in as a machine, and it's like a computer, and it does three things. It takes in this input through all of our senses. So the eyes are the biggest one, but our vestibular system, the inner ear, it's like your online balance system, is 35%-ish of information coming in. And then like the rest of your proprioceptive system. So your all the receptors in your skin, and you know, you could think taste and smell and all of those other things too are feeding your experience of the world. So the input comes in and then the brain has to process it. And so part of what we can also do is play, thanks to like cutting edge neuroscience, we can now go, oh, you seem to have an issue in your parietal lobe, which is like the part of the brain that deals with spatial awareness. Let's give you some drills that we know target the parietal lobe, and maybe we can help you process that information better. Wow. And then the third part is output. So we take in the information, we process it, we make decisions about what we're going to do with it or not, and then we take action on it. And that's where kind of movement training or skill development, right? Like, can you actually reach out and grab the coffee cup if that's what your task is, right? How well do you do it? If you're not doing it super well, that can be threatening. That can cause more chaos in the nervous system, right? So all three areas are available for improvement. Right. And it's sort of this infinite journey of like, hey, what's my goal? Okay, so is it to sing the high notes better? What inputs can I give myself that are going to help me shift that? Right. So like traditional singing would be all output focused,
right?
You know, like sing better, lower your larynx, get that soft palate up. It's all very physical.
Right.
But for me, I couldn't actually feel my tongue. Turns out. So if you can't take in the input information, the likelihood that you're going to be able to control and master your output it's compromised. Right.
So, yeah. Oh, that's incredible. So how do you work with people? What, like if someone like myself, for instance, came to you and said, like, where do you even start? Do you ask
where do you even start?
Your symptoms are? Or?
Yeah, it's a good question. And, you know, it kind of depends on the person. My preferred way of doing it is to actually do a full neural flow. It's really, really cool. We basically run like a 2-hour long assessment on all kinds of different receptors. And we test all those input mechanisms, you know, from taste to smell to touch and all of those things. And then also the motor outputs of your eyes and your ability to balance, right? So there's ways that we can test those processing and movement skills. But basically reminding your nervous system for what I'd call functional deficits, things that just aren't working quite right, with the intention of then cleaning up those deficits. And in doing that, making you just feel and function that much better.
How do you
Does that make sense?
The deficits?
Yeah. Good question. So like let's talk about your eyes for a second. They get dirty. So deficits, let's just call it weaknesses or maybe imbalances, right? Like it's you're not that good at it. It's kind of, here's a neural skill and you're not that good at it. So for me, I wasn't so good at yolking my eyes together. Mm-hmm. Why? Well, I mean, maybe it's genetics. Maybe it's that I played soccer with my head because I had no actual skills and I just thought I was a badass by heading the ball over and over and again. You know, probably some head trauma. You know, there's life is a full contact sport. I like to say these deficits often show up as a result of injury, but also underuse. And that's where things start to get really interesting. It's nervous system, the way it was designed to be used. And it's a use it or lose it contraption. Neurons have to be activated in order to survive. So if it's not getting activated, it's going away. So like, doesn't mean it's gone. You can always change things back. But if I have not looked up left in a while,
oh wow,
it's going to become harder to look up left.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that totally resonates.
So then to retrain it, we're going to look up left. We're going to find the areas that need improvement and we're going to improve your skill in those areas.
Okay, interesting. So is that one of your bits of content you had red glasses on and you were able to like get an increase in neck motion? How are they connected?
I'll just say this, everything I'm about to say is a gross oversimplification.
Sure.
We know
sure.
this much about the brain and I know this much about what we know about the brain. So like, it's complicated and there's science, right? Like, so there's a couple things with the red lenses in particular. One, any kind of color input is going to impact one of the cranial nerves that helps with vision, that plays a huge role in vision. And neurons if you activate one and there's another one right next to it, it's going to activate that as well.
Okay.
So this is where things get really cool. Like, okay, I'm going to get techie nerdy with you. You don't need to know this, but so cranial nerve 3 pulls my eyes in towards each other. So if I'm going to cross my eyes, the muscles that pull my eyes in are innervated by cranial nerve 3. If I put those red lenses on, I'm also activating cranial nerve 3.
Oh.
So by putting those red lenses on or any color, you know, just kind of adding color in, I'm going to impact my ability to pull my eye muscles in like that. Does that make sense so far?
Yeah.
So that's like reason one. Reason two, and this is really interesting, our midbrain, which is kind of it's like at the start of the brainstem. It's not conscious, right? This is like dinosaur brain stuff. It is the start of the fight or flight system.
Okay.
And that cranial nerve 3, a lot of the visual input goes into that midbrain. So if I've got someone like me who tends towards anxiety, tends to be, you know, all of those feelings, there is a, I can go in and with color impact that part of the brain and calm things down.
Wow.
Now red is actually activating. Okay. And this is interesting. So for a lot of people, you put green on, green is calming for the midbrain and they calm down. But like I said, the nervous system is use it or lose it. If I am not getting enough activation of my eyes, or there's something going on where I'm not getting enough information to that midbrain, it will become hyperactive in order to stay alive. So I feel like this, right. And it's because I'm actually missing stimulation.
Okay.
So the red lenses activate and then I feel calm.
Huh.
It's not that different from like someone with ADHD taking a stimulant and feeling calm. It's the same idea.
Right. So that was one of my questions, because I'd seen you reference ADHD before, and it's a funny thing because it's not something I dealt with when I was younger, but as I've gotten older, it's definitely been an issue, which yep. is strange because I would have thought maybe I just didn't recognize it when I was younger. I was brought up in the 80s and we didn't do things like that. We right. didn't talk about
no stuff. and this is such a normal thing, and it's so interesting. I am not an ADHD expert. I created a mini course a few months ago and like dove deep into, you know, the ADHD world, and yeah, I wasn't diagnosed as a kid either. And for most women, if there's actually a lot of science coming out now that kind of explains that, yeah, we were okay in school. That wasn't an issue, but it becomes more internalized for us. And adulting tends to be challenging. So it's not that hyperactivity that we see in little kids when they have it. When it's adult ADHD, it tends to be more kind of what I was talking about, that like frenetic energy, and that can often stop us from being able to focus or do the things that we're trying to do, settle in.
Well, and I think especially as a creative person, you know, my job is to get into a mind state or a mindset of focus. And it's difficult to get there some days. And I was, one of the other pieces of content I saw you had was you were smelling oils and talking about like kind of getting your brain ready to work. And I was like, oh, that's so interesting. Could you speak to that a little bit too?
Yeah, totally. That video was kind of a highlight of the ADHD course. And like, I put together these 5 what I call neural cocktails. So they are multi-sensorial exercises that are designed to target the parts of the brain. So we're talking about that processing part that typically gets impacted by ADHD. But even if you don't have ADHD, can be helpful in increasing focus. And you know, focus is such an interesting thing for me. Like me sitting down and having to do some kind of task-oriented thing requires one kind of focus. If I'm going into a creative place, I almost think about it as like readiness. I want to feel alert and alive, and I want to feel good. Like, and then when I'm in that space, things come through me faster. It's easier. And you know, here's the thing. I've been doing this for a decade, and the day I filmed that video, I felt like curling up on the floor in a ball, you know, like I just was like, I don't feel good. That I can tell you all the reasons why that might be happening. And I know my brain well enough at this point to know, yeah, maybe I'm a little tired, but I don't need a nap. A nap is gonna actually probably make things worse. I need some activation, which is challenging because it's like when you feel like crawling up in a ball, the last thing you wanna do is have to do something. Right. But what's so cool about these tools is they're really, really easy. They don't take, you don't have to go for a run. That's not it. Like literally, can I open up my essential oils and take some smells of my essential oils and name what they are? And I literally started that morning off going, this isn't going to work. I sell snake oil. This can't possibly pull me out of this level of a funk. And it did.
Oh,
I was like, okay, I no longer feel bad putting a ton of energy advertising this. I mean, and I'm laughing. My experience of life now is so completely different than it was 10 years ago. And it doesn't mean I'm awesome all the time. That's not it. But I have tools that when I'm not okay, I can help myself. I actually know what I need now.
Yeah, that's so important. I have a thing that I used to call a recovery kit. So like when you're in that low space and it covers all the senses, and I have no science behind it. It's just, this was what makes me feel good. So, you know, is it smelling oils? Is it pulling cards? Is it meditating? Is it listening to awesome music and moving my body? That was the other video I loved. I was like, oh my God, we're going to be best friends. When you were like moving your body all over the place and shaking all over. And I was like, yes.
You know, this is my favorite thing
after that.
Right, exactly. And this is my favorite thing is like, yes, there's all this neuroscience, but at the end of the day, like, we're all so different. And I have the science to back that up. You know, there's studies that have come out to really truly demonstrate how freaking different everybody's brain is. And we're so in what's the word I'm looking for? Innately, intunely drawn to the things that help us. And I love that. It's a really cool story about that for me. So I did get hit in the head with a hockey stick when I was 13, and this scar over my eye, you can't see it, but this is what pulled me into Z Health. I had a trainer actually like pull on it, and my whole face just shook for, I don't know, 20 minutes. And then I stood up and I literally felt different. And I was like, I don't know what this is, but okay. What's so interesting is that I used to practice singing like this. I would pull my eyelid with my hand and I would sing beautifully, subconsciously. And I was like, what is wrong with me? Why do I keep pulling my, and like, I can't go into an audition or really even a voice lesson like this. Like, this is just, I mean, I can work it into the choreography a right. little bit, but it can't stay here. And then to find out that like, oh, there was a reason I was doing that. Like, that is so validating for me, you know? And for me, the work is like, okay, so you have your bag of recovery things and you know those things work for you. And so for me, it's like, can I confirm that these things, you know, I have a little method I call the check, try, recheck protocol, where you like, you know, you check something, you take a sniff of your essential oil or whatever it is you're drawn to, and then you recheck the same thing. So it's like getting a baseline assessment of like balance or range of motion or something. You do the trip, you do the thing, and then you recheck it. And you can see, because the nervous system is all connected and always communicating with itself, how it actually impacts you. So what you talked about, the red lenses, like my neck range of motion was what it was. I put the red lenses on, it goes further. Those are good things for me. And there was something so validating for me about that tool to kind of go through my list of recovery things that I was drawn to. And I don't know, there was something really healing. Like, I don't know about you, but I sometimes like doubted myself about whether or not they were really doing anything. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
And so to kind of go through and be like, no, these things really actually help me. And in one or two cases going, these things actually don't. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Huh. Let me leave those aside, you know, and focus on the things that do. And then the other side of the work I do is then adding to your toolbox and going, oh, interesting. So X, Y, and Z is in your recovery bag. That's some clues as to what your brain is looking for. Can we give you more of those things right. so that you can constantly move your brain in that direction and feel better?
So what does your day look like? Like, do you have almost like a workout routine that you do consistently, depending on what is it, does it change based on how you're feeling, or what does that look like?
That's a very good question. I was working as a trainer in New York. And so I was constantly in this conversation with my clients, doing drills with them. My maintenance was on, right? Like I was in classes 5 times a year. Like I was in it, and I transformed my experience of life. And then I became a mother and it's like, oh, I have no life. but I had this giant tool bag. And I was able to apply those tools in the moment. And I swear, like, my postpartum experience was kind of unbelievably wonderful. And I think it's because I had these tools. I know it is. And I was able to just, yeah, incorporate them into playing with my kid, you know, doing all of these things where kids do a lot of this stuff naturally. And if we just copied them, we'd be a lot better. And so that was amazing. And now she's 4 and like, she goes to gymnastics class and she does still want to play with me, but not nearly as much. And so, you know, and I've been working a lot more. And so I'm like sitting and I'm staring at the screen and like, I could feel myself starting to just decline. And I was like, oh, this is what other people feel like all the time. Oh, this is not good. And so, you know, for me, accountability is a big, big deal. I at least know, you know, pain's a big motivator, right? So if I start to feel crappy, I'm going to do something about it.
Right.
I'm not going to tolerate it. But that's not moving me in that positive trajectory that I was doing for so long. And so, yeah, I mean, kind of putting this ADHD course out there and these drills, like, yeah, I need to do these drills too. And I need to do them on a daily basis. And so, you know, there's a whole behavior modification side to this. I actually just launched a weekly neural tune-up. So it's really great. And we run through what I call the five elements of neural performance coaching. So there's vision, there's vestibular training, there's sensory work, there's interoceptive work, which is like breathing and tongue work and vagus nerve kind of stuff. And then movement, like mobility drills. So just getting a dose of all of that into a 30-minute window. My ideal world, there will be a membership where this happens every day. Cause it's game changing. Like, yeah. I'm better at showing up for other people than I am for myself. So like, it's just really great to be like, hey, we're going to do this thing. And lo and behold, I feel better and ready. I was just going to say I feel like I'm decent at incorporating them into my, you know, enough into my daily routine where I'm not going downward, but yeah. It's so much more fun when you do it as a group too. And
definitely. Yeah.
I find everybody's nervous system is so different. So everyone's getting different results, which is also really interesting to see.
Yeah, that must be. Cause I find my issue when I have, I fall into these things where I learn something new and I'm totally jazzed to do it every day. And like I was TM trained a couple of years ago and I love it. I love it. I do not consistently practice. I mean, literally I'll take months off. And I do that all the time. Like I know things that make me feel great. And I almost like a stubborn teenager, like I'm not going to do that. It's the strangest.
Here's the thing about brains. And this is something I kind of had to look at for myself too. Brains need novelty. Mm. And for those of us that I think are, let's just say ADHD, whether or not that's a diagnosis or not.
Or creative. Because like, I feel like actually, creative.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah, exactly. Like we actually need it more. Like there's the novelty keeps the brain interested. And I have a breathing drill that changed my life and same thing. Like I used to do it 3 to 5 times a day and then I stopped and I put the bag out. It's like bag breathing. So there was like a visual cue and I still rebelled against it. And I finally got to the place. I was like, Jessica, you're bored with it.
Oh,
you're bored with it.
Huh?
It's not working for you because you're bored with it. Would it help your cells? Yes. But you're going to have to find a new way to do it because this ain't
really
working.
Interesting and really annoying too.
Really annoying, right? Yes. And I mean, from a spiritual journey and the transcendent, you know, the TM, it's like, I'm sure there's some resistance to work through, you know, like there's pros and cons to just sitting and doing the thing, right? And like, okay, but if I'm not doing it, what stimulation can I add to it that might make it a little bit more interesting to me?
Yeah.
And make me more compliant.
Right. That's so funny. I never thought of it that way. I always just thought like, I don't know. There was a lot of like judgment against.
Exactly.
Those, you know, so when I don't do those things that I know make me feel so good, I'm like, okay, I have this entire toolbox and I don't want to play with any of the toys.
Yep.
And that's,
yeah. And it's a big thing. And it's something honestly in my business, like I am still working out. There are the type A people that you give them the drills and they will go do them and things will get better. That is not most people.
Not me.
And so, you know,
I love
like
the accountability though, that must make it so much easier.
Yeah. So like I send my clients automatic texts. Like, did you do your vision drills today? I've been working on like screensavers that you put on your phone with like eyeballs or something and be like, look up, you know, whatever it is. Like we need these these reminders. It's not like, oh, let me do my push-ups for the day. You know, it's like, no, let me move my eyeballs, huh? You know, there's a process of marinating that kind of has to happen before you go, oh, right, it makes a difference when I do this. Mm-hmm. It is one of the reasons that check, tried, recheck piece is so important for me, though, because if you think about behavior modification, if I get a reward every time I do it, like my neck moves better and I can instantaneously see that, the chances that I'm going to come back and do it again are greater.
Yeah.
And so it really does serve a purpose in that kind of compliance piece too, and ingraining these things. The other thing that's interesting and kind of the thing that I am the most passionate about is, though, like that really puts you in direct communication with your own nervous system. Mm-hmm. And, you know, your question about like, do I do the same thing over and over again? No, because I don't need the same thing day in and day out. I am a different creature literally every day. My brain is changing just in this conversation alone. I will be different on the other side of it. So to think that the same things that worked for me last week are going to work for me this week may not be accurate.
Wow.
So being able to check in and be like, what do I need today? Okay, let's try some vision drills. How did that retest? Really good. Okay, I'm going to do some more of those. Or gosh, that actually didn't fix anything and maybe it made it worse. Maybe I need to do some breathing drills and kind of refuel my body, or, you know, it starts to become a two-way conversation. Mm-hmm. And it's less about shoulds and to-do lists.
I think I had an episode about shoulds and why they're so terrible to actually verbalize. And I do them to myself all the time.
All the time. I mean, I think it's part of our culture and
yeah,
we're working on it, right?
Yes. Well, that's what I think every single person I've had on this podcast, if we're not talking about, we're just always talking about how to reach a new level of our best selves.
I love that. Totally.
Yeah.
Totally.
It's ever unfolding.
It is never ending. Yeah.
What do people come to you with usually? Like what's the most often seen thing that people come to you with?
Yeah, that's a good question. It makes marketing really hard because it's so different.
What's your avatar?
Right? A person. No, I think pain is a big motivator. So yeah, people with chronic pain come in for sure. Mm-hmm. Since I'm kind of a unicorn in the sense that I'm using this in the mental health world, there's only a few of us from Z Health kind of talking about it in that way. So lately, lots of people with anxiety and depression, ADHD, you know, that something's wrong and I haven't been able to figure it out.
Yes.
Is probably just, you know, that's it really. And then actually I'm pretty stoked. I have an elite athlete. It's my first time working with an elite athlete. So being able to, well, I did work with elite performers in New York, but this is like, she's a sprinter. So, so literally you can use this to like get out of pain, but also to, you know, whatever your goals are, we can apply it to that. And so, you know, there's my novelty.
Wow, that's so cool. Yeah. I mean, for me, I always feel blocked, and I for a long, long time thought like something was wrong. Not that I was sick, but just something was wrong. I mean, to the point where there was an issue with an extremely low iron level. But I just felt like I'm not me. Like I know who I am, and I'm not functioning at the level that I could be, and I couldn't understand why. And then most recently, I guess the last 2 years, I realized I was struggling with depression. And that was kind of a shock. I was like, but I'm happy and my life is amazing. And where is this coming from?
What made you think it was, why depression? What was it, your symptoms?
So many things, exhausted, weepy all the time. Like everything just made me cry. And like, I would have these very deep, deep conversations with people and I'd come out and it was always wonderful. But I'd always be like, well, why can't I just be like, so, you know, what's your favorite pink? I don't know, whatever. I just seemed to be living on a darker side of the street than I used to. And, everything felt very heavy and overwhelming and I didn't want to leave the house. I just kind of withdrew a lot and that's not me at all. Right. So, you know, just trying to figure out again, like, okay, I literally have a course on how to feel better and how to come into your new self. And I was like, I don't know what I'm talking about. I can't put that out there because here I am struggling with this again. And I think I lost the hope that I was going to be able to achieve a new mindset again, because I had done it so many times. And I just was like, okay, here we are again. And why? Yep. And so frustrated.
Yeah. So many things that could be going on with that. What was so, I don't know, empowering, hopeful for me, and really interesting is that at the end of the day, my hormones, my thoughts, all, literally every element of my experience of life is driven by my brain.
Yeah.
And if my brain is not feeling good for whatever reason, it's going to throw the brakes on. And the way it does that is going to be different for different people. So some people end up with back pain and some of us end up on the floor in a puddle. So, but it's trying to keep us safe. It's saying something's not right and we're going to lock you down and scream at you until you get the message that we need to fix something. Unfortunately, we're not going to tell you what the problem is and good luck.
But right. And no doctor will. And you just feel like a crazy person going around and people telling, well, your blood work's fine.
Right. Like,
I don't feel
and if your eyes are not functioning optimally, that right there is enough. It's enough to just fill. I talk about the threat bucket a lot, and like, you know, we all have a capacity, one bucket full, that's what you got. And if it's overflowing, then that's what I call pain. And for me, pain is any physical experience I don't want. And I think of emotions as physical at this point, but, if I've got visual issues or vestibular issues, that bucket is full before I walk out the door. And I may look at my world and go, this is amazing. Also, what? I can't do this. And if I'm having the energetic pieces of depression, my brain will start to, it's going to try and rationalize this. And I'm going to now focus on all the things that aren't working right in order to make sense of what I'm experiencing, even though it may has nothing to do with the circumstances around me. A driver of what we call interoception, which is how we feel in our body. And it connects our sensory system. So yes, vision, vestibular, all of these things to our emotions. And it kind of bypasses logic. So if there's anything going on in the nervous system that isn't functioning quite right, it will just send it straight to the limbic system. And you start crying and you don't know why. it was interesting. In my first Z Health course, they put a picture of the extraocular muscles, the muscles that move the eyes. They put that up on the wall. And I had a full blown panic attack looking at those pictures. Like I just started sobbing and I was like, I don't know what's wrong with me. And, my coach at the time was like, do you trust me that I do? And I said, I'm going to have to. and then we found my scar, you know, so I mean, like,
wow,
there's this knowing at like a neural level that we don't get to hear up in this thought land place. We don't have access to it here. It's not where we're going to find the answers. And that was so important for me to understand that. Yeah. I can't fix all of this with therapy. I can't fix it with meditation. Like, cause I tried.
Yeah.
And like, I was great on my cushion. And then I got up and tried to walk through the world and is like, I'm not okay.
Right. Like, I'm just going to stay right here.
Yeah. This is safe here.
Yeah.
And the good news is it's fixable. And,
yeah.
You know, there's a story. I'll just share this about a neuroscientist whose father had a stroke, like a severe stroke, paralyzed, couldn't speak anything. And because this, you know, his son had all of this information, he used functional applied neurology, which is essentially what I do, and retrained his father to speak and move. And he ended up living the rest of his life very normally. When he died, they did an autopsy and his brain was like Swiss cheese. Like it had holes. It sounds like the plant we talked about at the beginning, like holes everywhere. So what that tells us is that the brain is constantly reconnecting in different ways. There's no set pattern, right? Like, it's going to adapt to the stimulation we give it and the challenges that we give it. And there is always, I mean, Z-Health calls itself the science of hope. And I totally believe that to be true. Like, our brains change. That term neuroplasticity, like, that's it. Everything we're doing is driving change in our brain. And now with these tools, we have the ability to really direct that change in the direction that we want it to go.
Oh my gosh. What kind of results would people be able to expect? Like, what would you say is it just reaching your particular goal, or what have you seen happening and what kind of transformations?
Yeah. I love goals because then you have some specific targets. The reach is pretty much infinite. It's like, yeah, if you can change your brain to be anything, then what do you really want? You know, you start to ask big questions. Some of my favorite client examples I have, like, I have a woman who came to me because she was worried about falling. And she tripped and she didn't fall. Like, she had the ability to catch herself where before she had just gone straight down. So, you know, little things, that's a big thing. It's like, it's life ending or not. My favorites are the ones that just start to feel like themselves again, you know, and it's not quite quantifiable, but it's huge, right? Like, I feel okay going out and eating in public places again. I feel good in my own skin. I notice that I'm connected to my sense of self and I'm not like lurching out, you know. Those are my favorite examples, just because they feel like my story and, you know, I can totally relate. But, you know, and then I've had people that have had a stroke that suddenly can walk without their cane. So, you know, it is where health and wellness will go, I'm pretty sure. There seems to be some resistance around it, but like, it's science. So I'm assuming that it's going to end up. No, it is. It absolutely is. I actually have a new client. It's an 11-year-old boy, extreme ADHD. And like, his OT is doing a lot of these things. And so that I was like, yes, it's getting integrated, right? Like, this is so cool. If I could get this to kids, right? Like, oh my gosh, yeah. I had this information.
Especially all these little COVID kids. Like, I mean, ooh. I see it in my children and what they were not able to do and hit these like normal milestones and socially, and it's wild.
And to think that we don't need to rehab from that, that's right. The part where it's like, we're just going to go back into the world and everything's going to be okay. No, there's some rehab that needs to happen. Right. And neurally, like, there's stuff we don't understand about being human yet. And even with all the neuro I have in my brain, I don't understand it, but it allows me questions and it allows me to look at this and go, gosh, you haven't stared at a real human face in a really long time. What did that do to your brain?
Yeah.
Touch. A lot. Yeah. Touch. Oh my gosh. That interoceptive system is extremely touch oriented. I mean, I was selling a lot of ab belts in COVID. They're these neoprene waist belts that you stick on your belly and they're designed for weight loss, but they fire up the vagus nerve because there's heat and pressure on the guts. And I call mine my hug, you know, like, it just feels really, really good. Or weighted blankets, right? Like, we all just needed some extra dose of, I mean, it literally is, where do I end and where does the world begin? And I think we're wired to get that information from each other. We're supposed to be in community, like touching each other and feeling each other. And if we're not getting those signals, that is extremely threatening to the brain, not to mention just the psychological elements of it.
It's funny that you said, cause, and before COVID I was writing and I was feeling really good. And then afterwards, going back into trying to get this book out, I'm just like, imposter syndrome. It's just, there's no flow. I can't, every time I sit down to write, I'm like, I don't even know what I'm talking about anymore. We'll be working together for sure.
Awesome. I actually filmed something this morning. This idea of like, do you get good ideas in the shower? Some people swear by that. I don't, but a lot of people do. In the car. Oh, that's driving. So interesting. That's so interesting. So if you think about driving, you're getting all of this peripheral stimulation.
Yeah.
Like, you're getting vestibular stimulation because you're moving through space. If you're actually driving, there's hand-eye coordination, right? Like there is a ton. Okay. So there is a ton of stimulation coming in there. Huh. This video I was filming this morning is like, okay, if you get your best ideas in the shower, how do you get more of that when it's time to actually think? Like maybe you get a dry brush and you stimulate. For you, I'd be like, maybe you need to toss a ball around, something that gets those senses going, because your brain has already made it clear that it will give you good ideas when you get that kind of stimulation.
Oh, interesting. Or maybe an hour drive before.
I was going to say or just record your voice in the car. Who says you have to do this writing? Okay, an entire book written in voice. I think that's perfect.
That's amazing. So how can people connect with you? I'm sure people are listening to this and like, oh my God, she's got the answers. Where do we go?
I do think Instagram is a great place to start just because there are visual things you can look at and real life examples. I will say that check, try, recheck protocol is tagged at the top of my page for a reason. Like that is your golden tool. You can use it to try any of the things in my feed or basically anything in life. So that's on there. Also, there's my threat bucket video, I think is a great place to start. That's also pinned at the top. Okay. I made that in COVID. It's I think perfect analogy for sort of the emotional sides of things of this conversation. So I have a weekly newsletter that I think is pretty great. It's called Rewired. And I think we'll have the link there. It's also all my links are via Instagram too. So you can check that out.
Yeah, we'll have all your links in the show notes, but just in case someone's listening and they don't.
Yeah. And then, if you're like, this looks like something I want to do. I do free explorer sessions because you do have to try this. Before you're like, yes, let me sign my life away to this. You need to try it and make sure it makes sense. And so that's really important to me that people get access to this information. So.
Well, we'll have to do a follow-up episode after I'm working with you.
That'd be so great. Yes. And you can answer your own question of the changes that happen.
I did when they weren't sure what was going on, cause I was seeing spots, I was passing out.
Oh gosh.
They ended up doing, and I was having this vision thing every day. They ended up doing a spinal tap at the,
Oh gosh.
It's horrible.
Kendra, you've been through stuff.
2 years of testing and nobody's kind of coming up with anything except for the iron, and that did bring energy back, but I failed a vestibular test. And when I asked the doctor, I'm like, so what do we do from here? And he was like, it's not a big deal. I know, but that's honestly like the answer I got to most of this stuff. Like all of them were like, yeah, I don't really know. I went to go see a rheumatologist. He's like, yeah, I can't help you. I'm like, I know, nobody can. And I do get messages, and I kept getting, you are not sick. You're not sick. And I was like, all right, but then what the hell is like a constant headache, neck and back, same thing, like MRIs of the neck. They don't see anything, but it's like all here. And every day I get migraines. So now I have to take a migraine shot, and they do Botox and that doesn't help.
The eyes and the inner ear are neurally linked. Mm-hmm. And the connections between your eyes and your vestibular system and your neck are unbelievable. Like, I mean, there's just so many neural pathways that connect those. I mean, I always use my neck as kind of a check, try, recheck, because it gets tight all the time.
I was like, oh, I need to. I immediately was on Amazon. I'm like, maybe I need red glasses.
Yeah.
I wanted to talk to you first. I didn't go buy them, but yeah. I feel like I have to like snap my neck at like the very bottom of my skull. It's just like, ugh.
Just try this for a second. Can you bring your hands to that spot? Sit up really tall. Mm-hmm. And if you lightly press into that area and then move your eyes from side to side, you should feel movement in that area.
I don't know if I do.
Where are your hands?
Like right at the base of my skull.
So you've got the big bumpy bits.
Yeah.
And then there's the smushy bits.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. The smushy bits.
Oh, wow. I feel that. I'm wondering too, how do you do it virtually?
I'm actually shocked at how well it works. There's stuff I can't do, obviously. like the hands-on stuff. Although I've had, if I do need hands-on stuff, I have people bring in a partner and they can, I can guide them. It's actually been extremely empowering. It's like, no, you actually have the ability to do all of these things. I can tell you what to do, but you don't need a massage license. You don't need you have all the tools you need. You just need some guidance.
Oh, I'm so excited. Well,
this is great.
Thank you. I can't wait to talk to you again.
I'm so excited too. And yes, like you're kind of, I hope this is helpful. I'm not like, we don't know, right? Like we'll have to play with things, but you're kind of textbook. So
I know you're talking and I'm like, oh, that's me. Uh-huh.
That's you. We can absolutely make progress with this.
Yes. Oh, cool. Well, thank you so much. We'll talk
you too
next week.
Wonderful. Thank you, Kenja. You too.
So if you would like to connect with Jessica, please look in our show notes. We have all of her links there. And reach out to us on social media. Connect with us on your favorite streaming platform, wherever you're listening to this or watching this. I'd love to hear what you got out of this episode. And maybe, you know, if you have ideas for more information you'd like to find out about any topic, I am on social all over the place. Come find me. We have our links in our show notes as well. Go to tribeofunicorns.com. I would love to connect to you. Guys, thank you so much for listening. As always, it is such an honor and privilege to do this show. You check a huge box for me by continuously being a part of this community, and I just can't thank you enough. Enjoy your rest of your day, and I will see you soon.